This chazar is a chenish b'chetz v'shag b'mem Yehudim b'sechet git and daf yud aleph. The Mishnah said of Shimon Omer, af eluk sheyun v'chulu. How can he say that goyim can make a get valid when they're not b'nei krisus? They don't have involvement in the halachas of Jewish marriage and therefore can't serve to validate a get. Rav Zera said Rav Shimon is following the view of Rav Lazar, who says that it's the edim esira who validate the get. Rav Avo has said that although Rav Lazar says we don't need witnesses signed on the get, he would agree it's possible if possible witnesses signed, it would make the get possible. And even more, the case of the Mishnah where the witnesses had names that were obviously non-Jewish, and it's in that case where Rav Shimon says their signatures do not make the get possible. In fact, this means that Rav Shimon would agree that if they did not have such names, the get would be possible. If so, when Rav Shimon wanted to demonstrate a case of where the get would be possible, and he said that it was done out of court, it's possible. Why didn't he stick to the case at hand where the get was done in court and say that it's possible if the names are not obviously non-Jewish? Mor says that's what he's actually saying. He's saying that if the names are not obviously non-Jewish, then it becomes possible just as if it was done outside of a court. Another Teres HaGemara, the last statement of the Mishnah is not part of Rav Shimon. Rather, it's going back on the Tanna Kamma, who said that other documents are valid even if signed by goyim. On that, the Mishnah is now saying that other documents only become puzzle when they're done outside the court. Zakmar Vaita Brisa says that Rav Shimon is quoted as saying that Rabbi Akiva and the Chum agree that any document, including a get isha and a get shichra, that's done in the courts of the goyim, even if they have witnesses who are goyim signed on them, they'll be valid. They only argue when the documents are made out of court. In that case, Rabbi Akiva says that they're still valid, and the Chum say that they're puzzle except for a get isha and a get shichra, which are valid then as well. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that when they say that the get isha and the get shichra are valid, it's only if it's done in a place where yidden are not allowed to sign documents under the decree of the ruler, because it's then known to all that the witnesses are not Jews. However, in a place where yidden are allowed to sign documents, the get isha and the get shichra would be possible even if the names are obviously non-Jewish, as a gzeira that one may come to use these non-Jewish witnesses to be edim esira as well. Why are we not gezer in a place where yidden are not allowed to sign, so that we not come to allow in a place where yidden are allowed to sign? Where I said people may come to confuse one name for another, but people will never come to confuse one place for another. Ravina wanted to validate a document that was done by goyim who were not in a court setting. Raphram said to him, the Mishnah says in a court, which means that it's not valid in any other setting. Zakmar Vaita, Rava said if a document written in Persian and signed by Persians out of court and was then given over to the creditor in front of Jewish witnesses, it's valid to be used to collect from unencumbered properties. Zakmar, the Jewish witnesses can't read Persian, so how they affect the witnesses? Mar said the cases where the people do know how to read Persian. According to Halacha, a document must be written on paper that can be easily determined when it's erased. The Persians don't use such paper. And Mar said the case is where they use such paper where it was treated with a substance that it will be obvious if it is erased. According to Halacha, the last line of the document must review the integral parts of the document. The Persians don't do that. And Mar said the case is where this was done. If all these details were done, why can't they use this document to even collect from encumbered properties? And furthermore, since Yidden did not sign the document, it does not become well known. Therefore, one may not use it to collect from encumbered property. If we find a get and the signatures on the get are similar to those goyim, to those of goyim, but we don't know for sure, do we say the get is valid and that if they are valid, edim esira or not? Rabbi Yechanan said the only case that came before us was where the witnesses signed the get, where the names were Lucas and Luz, which, and over there we said the get is valid. However, it is only in a case like that where no Yidden have those names that will say it's valid. However, if they were names that could be had by Yidden as well, it would not be valid. In fact, Mar Brisa says that a get that comes from Chutz La'aretz and the signatures are names like that seem like those of goyim, the get is valid because most Yidden Chutz La'aretz have names like those of goyim. We see it's valid even though the names are not obviously non-Jewish names. Afterward, that's because in Chutz La'aretz Yidden have those names, and it can be assumed that the witnesses were Yidden. Rabbi Yechanan is discussing a case in Eretz Yisrael where Yidden don't generally have such names. Therefore, we assume the witnesses are goyim and the get is puzzle. Zok, the next Mishnah Rameh says, if a man instructs to give a get to his wife or a get shichur to a slave, he can retract either of these until the document actually reaches the wife or reaches the slave. The Chum say he may only attract a get isha, but not a get shichur, because one is koina, a benefit for another person even without him being there. So the shliach is koina for the slave as soon as it reaches the shliach's hand. The reason the get shichur is considered to be a benefit is because if the master wants, he does not have to feed a slave. However, a husband must always support his wife, and therefore a divorce is not considered to be a benefit for the woman. Rav Meir said to them, by a slave being freed from his master who is a koyin, the slave loses the right to eat truma, as does a wife who is divorced from her husband who is a koyin. Therefore, just as it's not considered to be a benefit for a woman to get divorced, it's also not considered to be a benefit for the slave to be freed. They answered, the slave loses the right to eat truma only because he's no longer the property of the kohen, not because he's going free. Obviously, all this will have to be explained by the Gemara. Zaktimar Rav Huna and Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef were sitting in front of Rav Yirmiyah, who was dozing off. Rav Huna said, "We see from the Shita of the Rabbanon in our Mishnah that one may seize property from a debtor for his friend who is a creditor. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef asked, can this be done even though it will be detrimental for other creditors of that debtor?" Rabbi Huna said, "Yes, we see that the Shtiach can be kinder for the slave even though that's detrimental for the master." At this point, Rav Yirmiyah awoke and told them, Rabbi Yochanan said that one may not seize for a creditor if it's detrimental for other creditors. And our Mishnah is not approved because since the master said, give it to him, it's as if he told the Shliach, be kind of him. And that's the reason he can be kind of him. Rav Chisda said that the matter of whether one can seize for a creditor when it's detrimental for other creditors is actually machalik between Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanan in a Mishnah. The Mishnah says if someone grabs Peah and says that he's grabbing it for a certain poor person, Rabbi Eliezer says he's kind of it for the other person, or the Rabbanan says he's not. Dr. Mother, a Meimar or a Papa said this is not necessarily Machalikas. It may be that Rabbi Eliezer would only say that he's Koine in that case, because since the person who's grabbing the payah can be Mafker all his own possessions and thereby get a right to take the payah for himself, he's also allowed to now take it for somebody else. In the case of Rav Huna, he would not be allowed to seize from the debtor. Also, maybe that the Rabbanan only don't allow being seizing by payah based on the Pasuk of Loisilokate, La'ani, you have to leave it for, which they dash to mean that one may not gather payah for a poor person, he has to do it himself. However, in the case of Rav Huna, they may agree that a person may seize for a creditor. How would Rabbi Eliezer dash in the pasuk of Loi Silaket? Mara says, he says the pasuk teaches that a poor person may not keep the pay of his own field, must instead leave it for another poor person.